and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com is the email address, and there is the YouTube channel, which you can find the link for in my Twitter bio and also on the website. Back again with another of the season in review podcasts. Today, I'm going to be talking about the San Antonio Spurs. Check. He wants a nasty game. Pop, pop, pop and flinch. He wants a nasty game. Pop, pop and flinch. Pop, 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 pop and flinch. He wants a nasty game. Pop, pop and flinch. Pop, pop, pop and flinch. He wants a nasty game. Pop, pop. Yes, for those of you who aren't up with their Israeli hip-hop, that was Arik Hennig, an ex-Beautiful, singing a song or rapping a song called Popovich, which I just found today, and it is hilarious, so make sure you're checking that out. You can check it out on YouTube. Very, very, very strange stuff indeed, but entertaining nonetheless, as I hope this podcast will be. Off to a good start. Let's talk the Spurs, a team that people hate from a fantasy point of view. They hate them. They hate them. You hear the phrase all the time, nah, they're going to get popped. They're going to sit games. They're going to miss games down the stretch. They're going to wreck you in head-to-head playoffs. They're not playing over 30 minutes a game. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. You've heard me say this a million times. Well, Kawhi Leonard, he played 32 minutes a game, so that's already one thing out of that myth, which, by the way, has happened once. Once of every player playing under 30 minutes a game. Not something that happened all the time. Once. The last time Kawhi Leonard came back from his injury on the 16th of January, didn't miss one game after that. No rests, he didn't get popped. It's overblown. That's really what I want to concentrate on at the start of this podcast, is talking about just how it is overblown and how, yeah, look, last season they were comfortably in a high seed, and Popovich could have rested players, but I think Duncan missed one game and Leonard missed no games. Again, this season, Tim Duncan, the last time that he missed a game last season, the last game that he missed was the 20th of December. Played every game after that. Sure, there were some games where he had limited minutes, but even in those limited minutes games, he was still really productive. So don't think that you're going to have Popovich sitting these guys every second game and no one playing minutes. Yeah, sure. Duncan didn't play big minutes. Parker didn't play big minutes. But they did what they did in the minutes that they played, and they gave the value that they gave in the minutes that they played. And, you know, you can't ignore that. A lot of people ignore Tim Duncan. He would have been picked in the 50s or 60s of drafts, and he was fantastic. I wanted to really get that off my chest, because it's something that bothers me, because people often hear a narrative, buy into it, and then don't look at it, don't research it, and then you just hear it spewed forth and forth and forth so many different times about the same thing. Nah, they're going to get popped. They don't play any minutes. The Spurs are the worst team for fantasy, when it's just not, I'm not going to say it's not true, but it's not to that level that people make it out to be. It's just not really. Now, that's the best sort of word that I can give you. It's not what it appears. It's not what you hear it to be. The things that you might hear it, or you might hear it becoming, it's not what it is. Always do a bit of research into things. Don't expect, look, it might happen next season that Tim Duncan misses six games in the last 2 months of the season. That could happen. Didn't happen this season, didn't happen the season before. It's just something that hasn't been, look, we don't even know if Tim Duncan's going to come back. But it's something that gets or irritates me when there's a common perception about things and people don't necessarily look into it. So just make sure that you are breaking these things down when you're considering it, and not just, I'm never drafting Spurs players because of Popovich, because of the minutes, because of the resting, when in reality, it's not the case. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Let's start talking about these playoff players now in more detail. We'll talk playoffs because they got eliminated in the first round by the Clippers in a really good series. Bit of a disappointment. They were disappointing for a big chunk of the season, though, the Spurs, and it's probably not all that surprising that they didn't make it past the first round. maybe it's a bit surprising they didn't make it past the first round, but they weren't as good this season as last season. I think that's fair to say. Let's start with Tony Parker, a guy who definitely wasn't on his game, but he still ended up as the 106th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. That's not horrible. And that's about the area that I think that he should be targeted in most sort of formats. He played 29 minutes a game, 14.5 points, 5 assists. The thing is, he gives you no threes, 0.6, no steals, 0.6. And that's a real issue for a point guard. And he's only giving you 14.5 and 5. They're not elite numbers. He's not a top 50 guy. He's not a top 70 guy. He's a top 100, top 110 sort of player. Now, phenomenal field goal percentage, 49% from the field, 78% from the free throw line. That's what Tony Parker is. He's a guy who gives you great, great shooting numbers. His last five seasons field goal percentage, 49, 50, 52, 48, 52. They are amazing for a point guard, and that is a significant value for him as opposed to all other point guards. But his three-pointers, 0.6, 0.4, 0.4, 0.2, 0.3. The last time he averaged a steal a game, and it was just a steal a game, was 2011, 2012. So these are things that definitely take a hit from him. Now, he hasn't played over 70 games in the last four seasons. He has been banged up a fair bit, and his minutes aren't there. He's not getting 35, but all that means is we're not going to expect Tony Parker to become a top 50 guy. If we accept him for what he is, which is a guy who's ranked around the 100, so a last round pick, a point guard who's not going to hurt your field goal percentage, which when you get to those last rounds of drafts, a lot of the guys who are left are players who can hurt your field goal percentage. He's not going to be one of those players, obviously, and you accept him for what he is, there's value there. It's just about not taking him at an early point, not taking him at pick 60, not taking him at pick 70 or anything like that, because that's probably not the value he's going to give you. His backups, Corey Joseph, a guy that always has a lot more value when Parker is out. When Parker's playing, Joseph goes back to the third man behind Patty Mills. When Parker is out, we see Joseph move into the starting lineup, and he played pretty decent minutes. And when he plays, he does put up good numbers. Now, he's a restricted free agent. I would think that the Spurs would want to bring Corey Joseph back. He played 79 games, 18 minutes, 6.8 points, 2.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, half a steal, 50% shooting, and 63. So, in a sense, he's almost like a Tony Parker light. He doesn't hit threes, he doesn't get steals, and shoots a really good percentage. I don't think there's a great deal of dynasty value in him, though. I just don't think he's going to get better. He's a great reserve guy in those situations when Parker is out. He's a great player that the Spurs can rely upon. But otherwise, he's a third-string type of guy. So I don't think there's a huge amount of rotisserie value for him. Not rotisserie value, dynasty value. Rotisserie, he's got pretty good value. But I don't think there's a much dynasty value in Corey Joseph in that he's not going to improve on a consistent and put up consistent numbers. He's going to be that third-string guy who occasionally gets plugged into bigger minutes. Now, Patty Mills actually played less minutes per game than Joseph this season. He only played 51 games after suffering that shoulder injury and coming back in January. 16 minutes, 7 points, 1.2 threes, half a steal, 38 and 83%. So we know what Patty Mills' value is, and that's his ability to hit three-pointers. He did it at a tremendous clip. His per 36 numbers for three-pointers is 2.8 per game and 15.8 points. His other numbers don't come out that good. 3.5 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 1.3 steals. He's a guy who lights it up, who scores. He scores quickly and he scores in bunches. And that's why the Spurs like using him. He's a guy for me to keep an eye on if the Spurs don't re-sign Danny Green, who's an unrestricted free agent, because we could see Mills jumping into that scoring, three-point shooting, off-guard role. He's probably a little bit small for it, but the Spurs can do a lot of different things. So he could definitely jump into probably not the starting shooting guard role, but be a guy who plays 24, 25 minutes off the bench and becomes that player who hits two threes a game and gets them 13 points and shoots a high free throw percentage and maybe gets him a steal a game. He can do that sort of thing. So he's a guy to sort of keep an eye on, especially if Danny Green doesn't sign. And I reckon we'll be looking for him to bounce back to 2013-14 numbers, which is when he averaged 10 points in 19 minutes with 1.7 triples. Back fully from that shoulder, a full off season to recover. I think that we're going to see a bit of a bounce back from Patty Mills. Not that it was a horrible season, but 313th in per game value is not what we want to see from him. Let's talk Danny Green now, who was absolutely red hot at the start of the season. He was tremendous, cooled down quite a bit, but in the end he averaged 11.7 points in 29 minutes, 2.5 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.1 blocks, 44, 87, and then 42 from the three-point line. He was one of only a couple of players to average a triple-one for the season, and that's where his tremendous fantasy value is. Now, because he played so many games, he was the 25th-ranked player in Roto Leagues, 34th-ranked player in head-to-head leagues. But if you break it down to a per-game value, 64th. And that's about right. He would have been drafted in the last round or not drafted in lots of drafts. He said he started off the season ridiculously hot, averaging like 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 2.5 three-pointers, just numbers that were crazy. They did drop slightly, but he's a guy around that 70 to 90 mark. I don't reckon you need to take him inside the top 50 because people hate Danny Green. A lot of people hate him. They don't like him as a fantasy guy because he plays for the Spurs. Look how low his minutes are. He only scores 11 points, but it's 2.5 threes, 1.1 steals, 1.1 blocks as a shooting guard. It's tremendously valuable. And 87% from the free throw line. So I reckon you can normally get him at a one or two round bargain. Picking him in the 70s or 80s is probably a good place to target him. On a per 36 minute basis, he was the 43rd ranked player. And that just shows that to do with his low minutes or lower minutes, how productive he actually was. And again, he doesn't need big minutes to produce fantasy-relevant numbers. Those threes, the steals, the blocks, they're all fantastic. Other shooting guards, we've got Manu. We don't know if Manu's coming back for another season. He plays very low minutes. But like these guys, he doesn't need big minutes to have a real fantasy impact. Only 23 minutes a game, which is obviously not high. Right, but in that time, 10.5 points, 1.3 threes, he averaged over 4 assists a game as a shooting guard, a steal, 3 rebounds, 43 and 72%. Now that's 149th in per game value, which is not enough for 10-team leagues and it's barely enough for a 12-team league. So anything deeper than that, he's a guy that you must own, even if he's in that sort of situation where he misses games. Now, you might think back and go, Manu Ginobili, oh, he was injured, he missed a lot. He played 70 games. That's a lot more than Dwayne Wade played. That's a lot more than a lot of guys played. And you don't really realize that he ended up playing 70 games because the minutes were low. And because we just think he's a Spur, he's always out. He played a fairly decent season. His numbers on a per 36 minute basis puts him as the 54th ranked player. So he's still lighting it up in terms of what he's doing, even in those limited minutes. And 4 assists, 1.5 threes, 3 rebounds and a steal are really valuable numbers for a guy that you could drop in off the waiver wire into your 12-team league on your bench. And if you need those extra assists, you know that he's going to be out there doing that. Now, we're always going to expect a little bit of a drop-off from these guys because they are old if Ginobili even comes back. So maybe he falls out of borderline 12-team range and into maybe a 14, end of a 14-team league, maybe 16-team league. But we don't need to be too worried about him in terms of if he plays 20 minutes because he's still going to go out there and put up pretty decent numbers, as we saw this season. Marco Bellinelli, another guy who struggled with injury, 62 games for him, 22 minutes, 1.5 threes, so that's an impressive number, 9 points, 2.5 rebounds, and nothing else really all that exciting. He hit his threes at 37%, which is great, 85% from the free throw line. But he's another player, if Green happens to leave, that's definitely in a position to take on that role. And we saw when Green did miss, not even miss some time, when Green was, if he was struggling or he'd go to the bench, Bellinelli would jump in and he would play some minutes. He ranked 255th in per game value though, so he's not an ideal fantasy player because he doesn't do a huge amount of things. He scores and he can hit threes, but overall his other numbers just aren't that exciting. So if Green happened to leave and Bellinelli became the starting shooting guard, you're not taking him in the same place as Danny Green because he doesn't get steals. He's not going to hit the same volume of threes. He's not going to get blocks. He's not going to rebound the ball the same. There's a lot of things he doesn't do as well, so it's not a case of we're plugging the starting shooting guard from the Spurs in and taking him at pick 80 because Bellinelli's not that guy. He's a guy that you might want to look at maybe at the end of 12-team leagues, but even then, that's a bit of a maybe. Reggie Williams, a guy who signed late in the season, he's an unrestricted free agent. 450th was his rank. He's not someone that we really need to be too concerned about. He played 20 games, which I think might shock a lot of people, but just 5 minutes a game and 2 points, and there's nothing really to like too much about Reggie Williams. Let's talk small forwards now. And one of the most divisive players in fantasy basketball, Kawhi Leonard. The NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, one of my top 5 favorite players in the NBA. He turned in a remarkable season again. And tell you what really shocked me about him is that at the start of the season, I had him really high for roto leagues, probably, I think, top 20, if I recall correctly. But I had him outside the top 50 for head-to-head leagues. Well, in head-to-head leagues, on a per-game basis, he was 18th this season. He was a lot better in his head-to-head leagues. And the last month of the season, he was the 9th-ranked player. Now, you're going to see people go way too hard on Leonard or go way too low. I've seen a lot of people put out, you know, these are my early top 10s for next season. You've got Kawhi snuck into there at number 9. There's no way I'm taking Kawhi Leonard in the top 10 of a head-to-head draft. And even in a roto draft, that's a bit of a stretch. The thing is, if people love him, they're going to go early on him. They're going to take him at the end of the first round, the start of the second round. Or if there's people, everyone that hates him, he's going to be left to the 40s. The sweet spot for him, for me, is in the 20s. And I think if you get him there, that's tremendous value because he definitely improved his head-to-head fantasy abilities. 16.5 points, a 3 a game, 7.2 rebounds. This is a guy who's shooting guard eligible, so 7 rebounds is fantastic. 2.5 assists, 2.3 steals, 0.8 blocks. He definitely can be a triple one guy next season. 48 and 80 as his percentages. We know that this guy is super talented. He's a fantastic defender. And once again, the second half of the season, coming back from that injury, he just flat out dominated. As we saw, post-All-Star, he was the 11th ranked player. I don't think that he's able to do that for a full season because we haven't seen him do it, but I've got no doubt that he is definitely within inside the top 30, and he's probably inside the top 25, to be honest. Now, we had a question come in from, of course, Barry Baker, the podcast question maker. Shall I trade or stick with Leonard in a dynasty league? If so, for who shall I trade for? Okay, this depends, Barry. It depends on a lot of things. Overall, I say stick with him. He's getting better and better and better each season. But if you have someone in your league who loves Kawhi Leonard and is going to give you Russell Westbrook, is going to give you Anthony Davis, or James Harden, that's when you do it. You need to get a pretty big haul back. But there are some people who do significantly overvalue his abilities in head-to-head leagues. Now, I think that he will probably be a top 10 fantasy guy in the next 2 seasons. I don't think he's there yet. Overall, I'd say hold on unless you just get a crazy killer deal where someone's like, I love Leonard this much. I think he's going to be fantastic and you just get a stack of value back for him. But overall, my overall thought process on Leonard is hold him. It's going to be hard to get a market value. That's not the right word. It's going to be hard to get what I think his market value will be in the next couple of seasons. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. Leonard had such a significant increase in his scoring, up from 12.8 to 16.5 points, and that's what triggered that big rise in his head-to-head value. He also jumped his steals per game up from 1.7 to 2.3, so that's a big jump as well. The rebounds up an extra point a game, and he played an extra 3 minutes, and he can easily sustain 32, 33, 34 minutes a game, and we could see him becoming a 20-8 sort of player. No, and if he's a 20-8 player with the other numbers, there's no doubt he's top 10. I just don't think I'd necessarily be jumping spending a top 10 pick on him next season. I'd be a little bit hesitant on it still. I still think, to me, he's a 20 to 25 range sort of player. Let's talk about Kawhi Leonard's backup, Kyle Anderson, the Spurs first round draft choice. I was shocked that he fell to the Spurs at pick 30 last season. Didn't have the greatest of rookie seasons, it's to be fair. He only played 33 games, 11 minutes a game, 2.2 points, 2.2 rebounds, 0.8 assists, half a steal. And again, you look at that, and that's not all that exciting, but we go to per 36, the scoring is not good, but 7.2 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 1.5 steals, that's where you go, and 0.7 blocks, that's where you go, okay, this is what this guy is known for. He was a guy who just gets a ton of assists as a small forward, a great rebounder, a good defender, good with steals, good with blocks, and he does have the game to sort of become a fantasy, not a star, but a real fantasy valuable player. Now, he's not going to get minutes with Kawhi Leonard there at the small four. That's the problem. But if Leonard goes up and plays a small ball four, which is something he can do and he did in college, it's something that is definitely a possibility with Anderson out there facilitating playing at the three. It's something to keep an eye on. He's not... Because of the organization he plays for, the players around him, I don't think he's going to be a superb dynasty target, but his game definitely suits fantasy. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from Kyle Anderson. Now, his numbers last season, he was 420th in per game value, so it's not great value, let's be honest, but when we can look at what his numbers extrapolate to, and that's where you get that bit of excitement. And the fact that he only got 2.8 assists per 36 minutes is something that will rise. He'll be a guy that be a 5 to 6 assist guy per 36 minutes when he gets a bit more comfortable in the league. So take that for what it's worth. But if your league goes 400 deep, I think Kyle Anderson should be on a roster, because I think there is going to be a role for him, whether it's in San Antonio or whether they use him to trade to another team into a bigger role or more playing time. He can be a guy who racks up fantasy stats. Might not be a fantastic NBA player, but if he gets 25 minutes a game, he's a guy that 12 and 14 team league owners will want to pay attention to because of his diverse skill set. I think that's all the wing players done, all the small guys. Let's talk Tim Duncan. I mentioned him quite a lot at the start of the show, talking about, you know, resting games and all that sort of stuff, where he didn't rest a game. In all of 2015, he didn't miss a game. He played 77 games for the season. Now, it's only 29 minutes a game, but when you're getting 14-9 with 3 assists, 0.8 steals, almost 2 blocks, 51-74, who cares that you're getting 29 minutes a game? It doesn't matter that you're getting 29 minutes a game. You're ranked as the 29th ranked head-to-head guy per game in 29 minutes a game. So, you know what? If you get 29 minutes a game and you're the 29th ranked player, who cares? It is what it is. That's the value of you. You know, if for some reason he played 35 minutes, he'd be a top 15 guy. He's not going to do it. So this is where he fits. Now, people will probably expect a bit of a drop-off for him. Now, it depends. We hear the Spurs mixed up in rumors for LaMarcus Aldridge, Marcus Gasol. If those guys come in, we might see Duncan not have to play 29 minutes. He might have to play 25 minutes. And then his numbers come down. And then he becomes a guy where, you know, drafting him around 50 and 60 is better practice. But even then, if that happens and Gasol comes in and Aldridge comes in and we think Duncan's going to go down to 25 minutes a game, people will drop him down and go, I'm not picking him until pick 90. I'm not picking him until after pick 100. So you still be able to get a bargain on him, because people just don't, they're blinded by minutes in a lot of cases. His minutes are low. He's going to get popped. We don't want him. But he's been such good value the last two seasons. Well, his whole career, basically. But the last couple of seasons, when people have been writing him off from a fantasy point of view, he's been delivering. And he was absolutely superb this season. I had him on quite a number of teams because I was able to get him at pick 50, pick 60, pick 70 in some cases. Put him on my roster, get the double-doubles, get the rebounds, get the big block numbers. No suffering in my percentages with him out there. He was just, once again, quite frankly, fantastic. Now, everything is pointing towards him coming back for next season, which is obviously great for the NBA just to have Tim Duncan back in the league. But yeah, at some stage in the next, you'd have to think that would be his last season. He's going to give it away. But his numbers, they just don't get worse. Well, they do, but you know what I mean. They don't really drop off all that much. His minute averages the last five seasons, 28, 28, 30, 29, 29. He's been pretty rock solid, I think it's fair to say. He's still blocking shots. He's still shooting the ball well. He's still getting rebounds. He's still passing the ball like a really, really good big man. There's not much more I need to say about Tim Duncan in that he's going to be underrated in drafts yet again. There is almost no doubt about that. You will be able to get Tim Duncan at a veritable bargain in most sort of situations. Probably end up being 3 or 4 rounds later than what his end of season value will be. Now, anyone can suffer an injury and that can wipe all that sort of stuff out. So you don't take anything like that into consideration. But just remember the numbers. Just remember the fact that he did not sit out a game post-December. Did not sit one out. And it's just not something that Popovich does. He just hasn't done it the last two seasons. It's just not something that happens. So, yeah, Popovich does do it, but it's not something that impacts fantasy leagues enough. When Tim Duncan's playing 77 games, you know, you don't have a resting issue. Other big men on this roster. Boris Diaw was definitely not the same player this season than what he was in the Spurs championship season. Ended up playing 25 minutes in his 81 games, though. But fantasy-wise, not that good. It's great that he played 81 games, and Roto Leagues he was 120th in that for that reason, but 201 in per game value head-to-head for the season. He was that 16-team league, 14-team league guy. At times you wanted to add him into your standard leagues, but overall he wasn't that player, and I just don't think he's going to be that player again this season. He's going to be someone that you're avoiding in pretty much all standard leagues. He averaged 8.7 points, 4.5 rebounds, almost 3 assists, half a steal, 0.3 blocks, which are pretty good numbers, and they're good for a deep roto, but not enough for a standard league. Let's talk Tiago Splitter. who is going to be underrated by people, I think. He played 52 games, but he was hampered by this odd calf back nerve problem pretty much all season, and that limited him to just 20 minutes a game. But in those 20 minutes, still had 8.2 points, 5 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 1.5 assists, which is pretty good for 20 minutes, 56 from the field, 75 from the free throw line. So all those numbers are really good in limited minutes, like really good. Per 36 wise, we look at that, 15-9 with 1.2 steals, 1.3 blocks. That's top 100 per 36 value for Splitter. He's a guy that I think is not ready for a breakout, but if he's fully healthy, he's going to get, and it depends, I guess, on Gasol and Aldridge and all those sort of guys. But for 12-team leagues, he's someone that's worth taking a flyer on at the end of drafts because he plays 25 to 26 minutes a game. You're going to get great percentages, nice rebounds, steals and blocks, rebounds and points. You're going to get a pretty good selection of stats from Splitter. The injuries just really cut his season to ribbons, basically. And he wasn't able to get going at all. He couldn't play minutes, but his per-minute production, it was impressive enough to make me think, yeah, there's a little bit of something there for him. Now, Aaron Baines was a guy that, in those couple of games where Duncan would sit out or Splitter would sit out and he'd get the start, there'd be double-doubles coming from Baines, and you'd be thinking, what the hell's going on? Why is Aaron Baines getting double-doubles? Why is he putting up numbers? And overall, he ended up with a 229th rank in head-to-head leagues. We don't need to get too excited about Aaron Baines. Let's be serious. 6.5 points, 4.5 rebounds. Not a lot else, but he's a great shooter. 57% from the field, 87% from the free throw line. So deep league guys, you definitely need to pay attention to him. You're in a 20-team league. Aaron Baines has a spot on your roster. There's no doubt about that. And you're going to get those times when he gets a start out of nowhere, where he goes up and has 12 and 10. And you go, you know what? That's a bargain for me. That's a real bonus because I'm not expecting that from Aaron Baines. The other two big men on this roster, they're pretty much nothings. Matt Bonner played 13 minutes in his 72 games for the season. Wasn't good, though, to be honest. He only hit, look, he's a three-point shooter who hit 0.6 threes a game in 13 minutes. We don't need to be too concerned about him with the other big men around, DL, Baines, Duncan, Splitter. We're talking bottom of the barrel here. Same with Jeff Ayres, who played 8 minutes a game in his 51 games. A good rebounder on a per-minute basis, but he's stuck behind guys like Baines, DL, Duncan, Splitter. There's not a lot there for him. Although, if any of these guys are going to have a bit of a burst out, I don't mind Ayres. He showed a little bit. He showed that he can grab rebounds in bunches, and he did start a few games down the stretch in place of Baines. And yeah, made you look and go, okay, maybe this guy has a little bit of something. But overall, not really. He's an unrestricted free agent. Bonner's an unrestricted free agent as well. So you think that one of those guys most likely isn't back, depending on what they do in terms of their free agency, if they're re-signing Danny Green, what they do with Kawhi Leonard, who's a restricted free agent, Gasol, Aldridge, all these guys I've talked about earlier, they could come on board. So there's a few things happening in San Antonio this off-season. Okay, guys, that's it for this podcast. I hope you understood what I was getting at with that rant at the start of the program. It's more about understanding, not necessarily understanding the game, but looking into things without necessarily believing everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear from me necessarily, even though, yeah, obviously I try to be honest and truthful with everything I'm saying, but look into it. Look into what I'm saying. And if I say that Tim Duncan didn't sit out a game after the 20th of December, have a look and go, you know what? He's right. Look at these numbers. Look at these minutes. Look what he did last season. Do the same thing with Kawhi Leonard. Do the same thing with all these guys and really look into it before just assuming that someone said it, that someone spouted it off and you went, yeah, Popovich is going to sit, guys. They're not playing minutes. I'm avoiding all Spurs my fantasy roster. Because if you avoided all Spurs this season, you missed out on Leonard, you missed out on Duncan, you missed out on Danny Green, who were all, maybe not Leonard was a bargain, but Duncan and Green were huge bargains. Ginobili had a little bit of value and Splitter on that per minute basis is someone definitely to keep an eye on for next season. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel and leave a review and a ranking on iTunes. Follow me on all the social media accounts. You know where to find me on those places. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.